Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and have taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. Being as passionate as I am as a career coach, one of the very initial thoughts I had that first day that everything around the world shut down due to the pandemic was, finally, people are going to get a chance to step back from the work that they're doing and evaluate what it is that they'd really like to do. My work shows me exactly how uncomfortable so many people are in what they have chosen as their careers. Their careers are so often based on job title or expectations of others or the amount of money that they're making. And for a majority of them, they feel stuck and they feel like they don't have any options. My guest today is Brian Marquardt. He is my son, and I'm honored to have him in from San Francisco and here on my show. Brian has chosen his own career path. He is an avid cyclist and a photographer. He has created and sustained abundant opportunities to ride his quiver of bikes and to capture impressive images of other cyclists on their biking journeys while living in one of the most expensive cities in the country. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Brian is going to join us and share how he makes it all go around. So stay tuned.
Get prepared for harvest and hunting season at Pro-X Home Decor Center. They have a full line of upright and chest freezers. Shopping for a refrigerator? Check out their line of in-stock models with over 13 to choose from. Also in stock, but in very limited supply, are Harvest Right freeze dryers. A must for the serious food preservationist. And stay on trend with beautiful Acacia Butcher Block countertops. Affordable and in stock now. Pro-X Home Decor Center, your hometown everything store.
Grunberg's Floss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg's Floss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg's Floss Collector's Cabinet.
It's time to dust off those cowboy boots and get ready for the Bonner County Rodeo. The rodeo returns to the Fairgrounds Outdoor Arena on Friday and Saturday, August 5th and 6th. Bring the entire family out for all of the traditional PRCA Pro Rodeo events, including bareback, steer wrestling, team roping, barrel racing, bull riding, and so much more. Pre-sale general admission tickets are just $15 for adults and $10 for children. You could purchase pre-sale tickets at the Fairgrounds office, Les Schwab, North 40, Carter Country, Columbia Bank, Woods Hay and Grain, and Sandpoint Super Drug. Don't miss the PRCA Rodeo August 5th and 6th. Get your pre-sale tickets now at Les Schwab, North 40, Carter Country, Columbia Bank, Woods Hay and Grain, Sandpoint Super Drug, the Fairgrounds office, or online at BonnerCountyFair.com.
Hey, the end of summer's almost here. Kids are getting ready for the new school year, but I'll be left behind unless I get my rear in gear. Neil here from Auto Credit Sales.
That's some great writing, bro. We should call you Neil Raymond.
And I need your old ride.
Gotcha.
So if you bring your keys in, I'll help you end this season on a high note. You could get way more for your old ride. So don't spend another minute in a car you hate. Trade up when you could trade it in today. Even if you've had credit problems in the past, my For the People credit approval process works. So if driving your current car is getting old, bring your keys in and you could get the deal of the season when you get way more for your old ride. But hurry, only during my end of the season keys in sales event. I'm Neil Raymond, your dealer for the people. See all the cars at autocreditsales.com. That's autocreditsales.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced. Offer absolutely ends August 31st, 2022.
Bomp, bomp, bomp.
97.1 FM, 1450 KBFI, and 1400 KSPT.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and are taking the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Brian Marquardt. Brian is an avid cyclist and a photographer who lives in San Francisco, and he also happens to be my son. So happy to finally have you here to do the show. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Great. So the reason I've been so excited to have you on the show is because in working with my clients, one of the first things I want to get to is, what are they passionate about? What excites them, and what do they get just fascinated by learning more about? And we get there, and I ask them if they, you know, have considered like doing work that would get them closer to doing that more often. And almost always the response I get is, I wouldn't be able to make any money doing that, or, you know, nobody's going to hire me to do that. So they tend to step away from their passions as being a career choice. And I admire that you have had these passions for so long in your life, and you've been able to make them your employment and be able to glean all sorts of benefits and rewards from being able to do those things in your life. So that's why I genuinely appreciate you being here, especially today. You know, it's interesting to me, like, as most parents do these days, they engage their kids in a multitude of sports and, you know, the typical ones, soccer and basketball and baseball. And, you know, sometimes those things stick, sometimes they don't. And for you, cycling was one of the things that stuck. So could you tell us a little bit about why was cycling, and when you kind of knew that it was something that you wanted to stick with?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, playing all of the sports growing up, the soccer, baseball, basketball, et cetera, I think that all of those things build teamwork and they build strong work ethics and things like that. They also build hand-eye coordination and all of the things that are necessary to be successful in any sport. So I tried all of those, and I'm happy that I did, but none of them felt like a good fit. I never got enthusiastic about going out and playing any of those. So I'm happy to have tried, and I think that that led to finding the things that I did really want to do. And cycling, like you mentioned, was one of those things, and I could do it on my own. I could do it with friends. It was a nice way to get outside and experience things. I still can't think of a better way to spend a day than being on a bike. So if I can do that and, you know, get support or find a career doing that, then I thought that that was an obvious choice.
And so how old were you when you kind of, like, all kids ride their bikes, but you took it to a different level, and or you kind of had a different awareness about it? Do you remember how that evolved? Or
it was BMX as a kid, so, you know, going out on the wetlands, we had jumps and we had things that introduced me to riding, and that was great for that period of time. And then I went to high school and kind of lost all of that. I just didn't ride bikes at all. And then it became a transportation thing, riding a beach cruiser around Huntington Beach as a way of getting from A to B.
Not bad.
No. and then in college, it was riding a fixed gear. And that became something more than just transport. I began making all of my friends through that, and we would play bike polo and do unorganized races and things. And I started getting into the hills and doing some bigger climbs, and then moved to San Francisco and then discovered how much was out there. I moved there without knowing the world-class riding that we have there. And then the fixed gear became a geared bike that became a bike with dirt tires. You know, there have been many evolutions of cycling, and I think that they've all kind of made me more interested in the sport. So it's just become a larger part of who I am, and more of my social outlet and my daily activities. And I wanted to see how far that could go.
Yeah. So I don't know if everybody knows what fixed gear is, but I think it's kind of fascinating. Can you just tell us a little bit more about what that kind of a bicycle is and how it works?
Yeah, it's intended for track cycling. So it is one gear up front, one gear in the back, and the cog is affixed to the wheel so that there's no free wheel. You have to pedal any time that the wheel is moving. If you stop pedaling, that will stop the rear wheel, and that becomes your braking system. So there are certainly challenges, but it's a very simplified version of the bike, and there is it's an experience riding one because you are locked in to the speed and all of that. So it also it allows you to track stand, which is balancing by applying forward and backward motion, and that can lead to doing bike polo and whatever else, where you have this control over the bike where you can stop or ride backwards or whatever. So it definitely teaches another skill set on the bike.
Well, it's obviously not for everybody.
No. And brakes are a good idea for anybody who's considering getting into it.
Yeah. And I know when you first moved to San Francisco and you told me you were riding that as your mode of transportation, I thought, oh my God, I don't know how you ride the hills and get around without running right in the middle of traffic all the time. Yes. But that's impressive. But and so I why did you end up on a fixed gear? Was that just like something that landed in front of you, or was just a kind of a fascination in the next step of your cycling?
It was kind of becoming a thing at that point. There was a brand, MASH, out of San Francisco, that put out a video of riders doing these things, and that I found very interesting. And it was an easy way to get into the sport because the bike doesn't require a lot. I was able to pick one up from a friend for very cheap, and then oddly enough, that MASH brand kind of harbored a community within San Francisco, and that became my first group riding that I did there. So that exposed me to all of the great riding there.
Yeah, and you didn't even have any idea that you were kind of stepping into that whole new world, which is kind of exciting as well.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay, so then your other passion, photography. Tell us a little bit about how that all evolved.
Yeah, I began taking photos around the time of being in high school, and it was always a fun thing to do. You know, it was a nice way to capture my surroundings, and you know, it became something that I enjoyed. And then I took a darkroom class in high school, and shooting on film and developing and printing and all of that became something that I was very interested in, and it taught me the fundamentals of kind of exposure and composition and all of that, and then decided to pursue that as far as an education. So went to community college and took photo classes there, and then decided to ultimately go to Brooks in Santa Barbara and major in professional photography.
And did you have a particular subject matter or end game in mind for what kind of a career you'd want to do with photography? Or
no, not at all. Not at that time. It was just something fun. It was primarily landscape, nature, just kind of taking a camera where I would be going anyway and seeing what I could capture. But no, it was always just kind of exploring what I was enjoying doing.
Yeah. And so I always think that in high school, if kids could take more exploratory kinds of classes like that, that, you know, the stuff that you don't necessarily get exposure to at home or by just hanging with your friends or whatever, I think that a lot more options would be brought to the table, and, you know, just to be able to experience things at that age when you're trying to make a decision about what you're going to do about your career, it's so vital at that time to have more exposure. I mean, do you think that was really the main reason that you embarked upon that path that you did? Or, do you think that was just a really valuable opportunity?
Yeah, all of the above. I think that it definitely spurred that that interest, and it got me to a point where I knew something about what I was doing, as opposed to just, oh, look at this pretty picture. You know, there is a lot more. And I think that exposure to those things is great. And, you know, photography is not going to be it for everybody, but I knew that I was drawn to that, and exploring it further was great. So, I think that in the class offerings in high school, most of which is not that, you know, utilized in the rest of life, I think, it's hugely beneficial to have that.
Yeah. And I think also to just have that opportunity to switch to a little bit more of a creative side when, you know, everybody's so involved in taking classes that are, you know, college prep, and where it's all kind of, you know, analytical and logical and things like that, to be able to have a class to balance out your day where you feel like you can exercise some creativity has also got to be a little bit of a relief to break up the day a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was a break in the day as far as like, I didn't dread that class at one moment, you know, math or English or whatever, and the homework involved there. It's like to go shoot an assignment was always something that I enjoyed, as opposed to, oh no, I have to do 50 problems or, you know, read X amount of pages. So
yeah, exactly. Which, yeah, I always try to encourage parents to get your, you know, find some space in there so that your kids can explore those kinds of things, because that makes all the math and science and everything a whole lot more relevant if you can see where there's some application in that as well.
Right.
And so was that class, was there focus on career futures for that, or was it just kind of really well-rounded as far as like exposing students to what they can just do with the camera for fun?
Yeah, no, it was just introduction, and I don't think that there was any, geared towards a future career or anything. It was just an exposure to the art.
Right. And how nice for that photographer to be able to teach other students, you know, kind of what he was obviously passionate about as well. So, you know, there's always that other side of it too, is to be able to give back to, you know, students and let them get exposed to it as well.
And to see that progression, you know, the first roll of film that you shoot, half the images don't come out because they're underexposed or overexposed or not focused or whatever. And then to get a roll back where, you know, almost everything is perfect, is that's a huge growth.
Right. And so then when you went on to community college, again, was that some idea that you would pursue a career in that direction, or were you just still kind of looking at it as interest and passion?
I think it was starting to become an idea. At that time, I knew that I enjoyed it, and I took that class because that was something that I wanted to pursue as far as getting better at it, or, you know, it was a course offering that I enjoyed or, you know, wanted to spend time in that class. So all of those were a good sign. And then I found that I was doing well in photography, and that it was getting some notice from the teacher, and, you know, my photos were being hung in the gallery. And I ended up working with that photo teacher on a shoot or two. And, you know, he had me along as an assistant. So I think that was the step into the photography career.
Yeah. And, with my career and working with high school and college students that have that question mark hanging over their head, like, what am I going to do with my career life? And not knowing really where to find the answer. Did you feel a sense of relief when you all of a sudden started to consider this as maybe an opportunity for you to explore a career path in photography?
Definitely. Yeah. And, I kind of always knew that I didn't want to pursue a career as, you know, I just didn't want to sit behind a desk for my entire life. I knew that I didn't want the 9-to-5 full-time thing. And I didn't know that photography was going to be the career. I had fully poured myself into a number of things going up to that. And I think that, before photography, it was music. And in all of these things, I pursued them because I enjoyed them. And a potential career path was always a hope. And, you know, if we had made it in a band, then that would have been great. But that doesn't ever happen. So,
not easily, anyways.
No. So it was nice to have photography as something that was kind of an attainable. It was something that I could study and progress and get better at and make my way into the career as opposed to, something that I didn't want to do.
Yes, absolutely. Anyways, I want to go and follow you from there to onto Brooks, but we need to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
K102 welcomes country music hitmaker Trace Adkins to Finley Stadium at State Line Speedway. With over 20 hit singles, it's going to be a great night of music with Trace Adkins. Wednesday, August 3rd at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway. Trace Adkins. Tickets on sale online now at raceidaho.com. Where they gonna be? The ones that like to dance, the ones that like to drink, every homegrown tin, down home pretty, holla on back. Trace Adkins with special guest Rashad. Live at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway, Wednesday, August 3rd. Sponsored in part by the City of State Line, Idaho.
Attention anglers, can you identify bull trout? Bull trout can have pink or orange spots on the body and white on the leading edge of their fins. They have no black spots on their dorsal fin. Remember, no black, put it back. You must release all bull trout. For practice identifying trout on the internet, type in bull trout education and click on the online bull trout ID test. Please help bull trout recovery in the Clark Fork Ponderay Basin. This has been brought to you by Avista, Idaho Council of Trout Unlimited, Idaho Fish and Game, and Montana Fish, Wildlife and Parks.
Three simple tips from Kinnick-Sioux Community Health for spring cleaning your health. First, schedule your annual checkup. Second, do something active once a day. And third, eat the rainbow by adding more fruits and vegetables to your meals. Kinnick-Sioux Community Health accepts Medicaid, Medicare, and most insurances and offers a sliding fee program. Not a patient? You're in luck. We're accepting those too. Learn more at kchnorthidaho.org or give us a call at 263-7101.
It's always the right time deal.
Hey, want to go to Mickey D's for lunch?
Ooh, let's go now.
But it's not lunchtime yet.
If we're going to McDonald's, it's always the right time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
There's a deal for every lunch hour at McDonald's.
Now's the time to mix and match a few of your faves. Buy one McChicken, McDouble, or Hot and Spicy McChicken and get another one for just a buck. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
The reasons to treat yourself to a frozen drink from Mickey D's go on and on and on. It's more than a drink. It's a Mickey D's drink.
Turn up your summer with a refreshing frozen drink. Right now, you can grab a small size icy drink like a frozen Coca-Cola or Minute Maid Tropical Mango Slushy for just $1.69. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Keep up to date on everything we're doing at NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Brian Marquardt. He is my son, and he is an avid cyclist and an accomplished photographer. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about how those two passions of Brian's kind of evolved for him and have led him down his career path where he is able to employ them both and make a living doing so in San Francisco, which is one of the most expensive cities in the country. So I always say, when I have clients that tell me that they can't afford to do the work that they love and be able to live a life they love, that's my intention in having Brian on the show, is to show that there are ways around it and that it can feel really good doing so. So we had gotten to the point where you had gotten through high school and community college coursework in photography and how you started to see like some sort of a blips on the screen ahead that maybe there was a career path in it for you. And so what happened after that?
At that point, I had mentioned the music career, and the band thing was very much enjoyed, but kind of began to fall apart. So I wanted to pursue something that would allow me to be in a field that I loved and enjoyed, but that would, something that is still somewhat of a linear progression. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to major in music to then become, a studio musician or a music teacher or something. I knew that going to school for photography, something that I was good at, I could kind of break into that career and follow a path that would get me to somewhere that I would be doing something that I loved. So the next step was to go to school majoring in photography, and that was an incredible experience going to Brooks in Santa Barbara. Tough to leave home and make that decision, but yeah. So glad that I did, and that was the next step. So
what were the things that were of value that you gleaned from going to Brooks?
Along with the coursework that basically covered the entire width of what you'd be shooting, providing lighting and all of the other technical abilities, it did introduce an entrance into the career side of it. So it was starting to work with photographers who were already doing those things. It was shooting for assignments that were paid, or it was kind of that foot in the door that that started that career path.
Awesome. And so and they exposed you to all different types of photography.
Yes. Yeah. And there were course selections within that. So people who were already gearing towards, if people wanted to shoot portraits or product or whatever it were, you can start to narrow in on that and then progress within all of that. There is a base that you would learn each of those things because they are all applicable. But then you're able to kind of zero in on what you want to do and really focus on that.
And what did you walk away with knowing more about what you might want to pursue?
Light. As far as what I learned from Brooks, it was watching and seeing light across shapes and across landscapes or, whatever it were. So I learned more than anything else just kind of how to see that light and how to capture that. And that has shaped how I look at everything in the world.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, and I know that no matter where we go or what we do, you'd say, I feel like you are always looking through that lens somewhat of like, what would that look like in a picture, or, how could I capture that? Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. Or just enjoying it, yeah. Not everything can be captured and right. You don't always have a camera, but to just see the light falling across something and to have that appreciation for that, I think that, that is something.
Well, and it reminded me of, I think, I don't know if you were in fifth grade or whatever, and we all of a sudden discovered that you needed to wear glasses.
I failed a vision test, yes.
Yeah. and I remember when you got the glasses, you were so excited because you went like, I had no idea that this is what the world looked like.
Yes. We would go to the Grand Canyon or, other family vacations where I'd look out and see colors and see expanses and things, but it was just shapes. And then to get that definition where you're seeing trees or the leaves in trees,
yes,
that shaped that was another, leap in my appreciation for nature and for watching that light.
Yeah. And I have to believe that that's something that led you to photography, because I think that to have the appreciation for what you could see as opposed to what you couldn't see must have just been like you had stepped into a whole new world.
Right. Yeah. I looking at those vistas, you would have somebody pointing out, oh, do you see this or that? And no, I don't. Sure. To just move the conversation along, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I see it. That's great. That's cool. But yes, to then capture it and to be able to have that and, that's nice.
But you also didn't know any different.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you didn't, you had no idea that anything was any different than the way you had seen it. So I think it's interesting how sometimes there are things in our lives that will just lead us down a path like that, and we don't have any idea that that's what's going on, but that's exactly one of the stepping stones, which is very cool.
Yeah.
So, and so then, so you graduated from Brooks. Then what happened?
I knew that I wanted to stay in California. I figured living in a large city would present more photographic work and opportunities. So, you know, growing up 45 minutes from LA, I didn't want to spend any more time in LA. but San Francisco had always held a place for me. And the few times that I had visited, it was always somewhere that just felt right. I had a close family friend offer me a bedroom and get my feet on the ground. And without that, I don't know that I would have been able to make that move, or it would have at least made it much more challenging. But that was that made the decision for me. So I decided to take a stab at it and see what was there.
Do you recall what it was about San Francisco other than, you know, the friend that kind of opened the door for you? You said that there was just felt like there was something there. Do you remember what that was? Or
no, like I said, I had great experiences the times that I had been there, and it's scenic. It's also a bigger city, and the culture and the, you know, the food and museums and all of the things are great there. So I knew that would be somewhere I would enjoy living.
Awesome. And so tell us about how your career evolved once you got there and how you kind of made it all come together.
Yeah. So I initially moved there and found work within photography. I was working basically three jobs at the time. I was at a photography rental house. I was also helping out in the labs in the Academy of Art. So I was at that school, and then working valet and working 10 shifts per week, trying to make that work. But at least I was doing more or less what I was there to do.
Right. And so, and when you were working for the Art Institute, like, so you sought out basically places that you could utilize the skills that you had gleaned from your education.
Right. It's helping students kind of along their path, similar to what I had been doing years before. And then at the photography rental house, I was essentially walking people through equipment selections and how to use it for the jobs that they would be having, or for, you know, whatever they were photographing.
Well, and I remember the whole time you were going through Brooks, my only question was, I don't know how these photographers pay for all these lenses. Because, I mean, they can be $10,000, $15,000, right?
At least, yeah, more than that.
And then I just thought, wow, that's just mind-boggling how expensive this must be to be a photographer. And then there you landed in like the perfect job for your career profession. So tell us a little how that worked and what you did there.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to shoot with all of that equipment. You know, on weekends I could basically take it whatever I wanted out, and that could be $50,000 worth of equipment. So to have that experience was really nice.
And it gave you a whole lot of opportunity to try different things and become familiar, you know, like learn how to shoot different areas. I thought that was such a benefit. So, you know, you just happened to land in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there was something about that job that you didn't love.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was working full time. It was commuting to a city that was, you know, an hour away. So there were things that were limiting. It was sitting behind a desk. It was what I didn't want to do in that regard.
Exactly. But again, it was a stair step. It gave you some exposure and opportunity that, you know, you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So I think that's kind of an interesting part about your career journey, too, is that, you know, sometimes you just, you take an opportunity that's there and get what you can from it and then move on.
Definitely. Yes.
So anyways, we're going to talk about how you moved on from there after we go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What's better than super fresh fruits and vegetables? Yep, you've got it. Super fresh fruits and vegetables on sale.
Swing into Super One Foods this Thursday and save big during our 12-hour produce sale. Dole bananas just 48 cents a pound. 13-ounce Lighthouse dressing, $1.98 each, first two. Whole sweet cantaloupe, 48 cents a pound.
Super One Foods 12-hour produce sale, this Thursday only. Hey, it's better than fresh.
Summertime is an excellent time to shop for a new wood or gas stove for your home, and Mountain Stove in Sandpoint has over 200 stoves in stock for you to choose from. They feature stoves from Hearthstone, Yodel, and more. And speaking of more, Mountain Stove also carries a variety of outdoor kitchen islands, wood and gas inserts, and spa products. Come and see the showroom at 1225 Michigan Street or visit them online at mountainstove.com. Your expert source for stove, fireplace, and spa products, Mountain Stove.
Cabin fever got you down? Hitch up the team and head on over to Mountain Traders, a one-of-a-kind consignment trading post featuring quality used furniture, antiques, taxidermy, metal and wood art, jewelry, and more. From pistol socks to fool's gold, there's something for everyone at Mountain Traders, and they've added pulled pork to their menu. Open Tuesdays through Sunday. Located on Highway 95 in Elmira, halfway between Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint. Mountain Traders.
K102 welcomes country music hitmaker Trace Adkins to Finley Stadium at State Line Speedway. With over 20 hit singles, it's going to be a great night of music with Trace Adkins. Wednesday, August 3rd at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway. Trace Adkins. Tickets on sale online now at raceidaho.com. Where they gonna be? The ones that like to dance, the ones that like to drink, every homegrown tin, down home pretty, holla on back. Trace Adkins with special guest Rashad. Live at Finley Stadium, State Line Speedway, Wednesday, August 3rd. Sponsored in part by the City of State Line, Idaho.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Talk about it.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and my guest today is Brian Marquardt, who just happens to be my son. And we have been talking about how he is living his career dream by collaborating between two of his passions, cycling and photography, and I think we kind of got to that point within your career journey where there's more merging of those two passions for you. And so tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how you're employing both of those sets of skills and talents and interests that you have.
Yeah. So we had parted, we had just touched on my working at a couple of different jobs, and I was up for a management position and didn't get that. And it put me beneath somebody that I was going to not work well with. So at that point, I decided that was the time that I was going to go out on my own and make a full-time freelance career a thing. So from there, I did all of the photography work that I could, be it assisting or shooting or anything that I could find, and have succeeded in that sense. Photography stuff did slow down a bit in the pandemic. At that point, I began working as a bike mechanic underneath one of the best bike mechanics in my eyes that that exists, and have learned a tremendous amount there. I've really taken full advantage of my free time in exploring those things. So I think that at this point, I'm able to ride my bike as much as I'm able to. I'm able to shoot, and ideally combine those two into a single career whenever I can.
Right. So can you give us some examples of like some of the like the rides that you go on, and just kind of an example of who are these cyclists that, you know, you're able to ride with and who you get to shoot? Because I don't think it's ordinary stuff.
probably not ordinary. The most recent big ride that we did was just over 300 miles, completed in just over 24 hours.
Wow.
No sleeping, no stopping, but it was in one go. And that was climbing the basically the highest peaks of the Bay Area, circumnavigating the San Francisco Bay.
So impressive.
Yeah. And that was done with support from an apparel brand that I've worked with in the past. You know, some of these adventures have led to some very strong relationships within the industry and some partnerships and support that have allowed me to continue to do what I do.
Right. So I thought it was interesting. There was, throughout this journey, I think there have been times when you have, you know, questioned, should I be doing something else? You know, should I be more on the path that's a little bit more traditional and, you know, the career ladder type thing? And it was not too long ago that you said to me, you know, Mom, I've come to the conclusion that I don't need to make a whole lot of money. I'm happy. And that was probably like one of those moments in my life where I felt some of the most joy for you, and that you realize that. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Is that something, you know, you want to share? Because I think that's kind of a big moment that a lot of people could benefit from.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, I think that I've begun to prioritize my time as opposed to wealth. And mm-hmm. if I can be happy in my day to day, or, you know, if I can enjoy my life, then that's my value of success.
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, having lost my dad at a young age, and this was somebody who had worked his entire life for a retirement that he didn't get to see. I knew that I didn't want to spend my days working for something that I may not get. So right now I'm young enough and, healthy enough to pursue what I want to at this level. And I feel like I have to do that.
So did that feel like a whole lot of weight was lifted off your shoulders when you kind of accepted that that's just who you are and that's what you're choosing to do?
It's made it a lot easier, yeah. I mean, especially living in a very expensive city where I think a lot of people do value wealth over anything else. It's nice to know what drives me and know that, you know, I'm not competing with them. It's not a comparison between it. It's I just value other things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also one of the things that I think is of benefit to you too is that your paycheck may not come in the form of money necessarily, but what you get to do is you get to bypass the paycheck and you get to go right to doing your writing. You get to go right to doing your photography, and you know, you get sponsors that help pay for things for your bike, and you know, you get the kits, and so it's just kind of eliminating the middleman, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the nicest things that I own right now are my bikes, and those were given to me. So
yeah,
you know, rather than save up for a year to be able to afford this thing, I don't have to. So
yeah, and hope that you have enough time to ride them to make them worth the money you spent on them.
Yes. And I'm fortunate to, you know, again, to have found things that I love doing. And I think that some people work for that wealth and then don't know what to do with that money. Or, you know, I think that, and it, you can just explore all of the things that make you happy. And, you know, I never intended for cycling to bring any type of career opportunity. I just did it because I loved it. And I only found it because I, you know, poured myself into everything that I did, and that one just, it seemed to stick.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say that one of the true signs of doing work that has meaning and purpose to you is when you're enhancing the lives of others. And so how do you feel that you're doing that with the photography and the cycling?
Yeah, I think that, you know, being in the environment that we're in and the times of day that we are, we're afforded these amazing scenery, or, you know, to have these inspiring views, and then to be able to capture somebody within that scenery. Mm. And then they've got something that they can look back on, and, you know, it creates the memories of those experiences.
Yeah. And gives them something, because they're not able to see themselves in that situation, but you are able to capture that for them so that they can, which I think is an awesome thing. And your photography is pretty amazing as far as giving them that, both sides of it, the cycling side and where they are while they're doing that. So I love that part of it.
Thank you.
So is there a goal that you have in mind, either in cycling or in photography or in both, that would be something that you feel is on your horizon?
Yeah, I think that pairing those two is obviously what I am meant to do and what I enjoy doing most. And if I can travel and experience what is out there, I think that, you know, that's the ultimate goal of what I would like to be able to do. So
right.
Just see the world and, you know, get out there.
Yeah, for sure. There's all sorts. And you do practice all different types of cycling. So, you know, the world's kind of your oyster and as far as that goes.
Yeah.
And so, like, for example, what is like a typical week for you doing your cycling?
I would say that any moments that I have free, I'm kind of planning to get out. So, if the week is full, if I'm on shoots and whatever else, then it's an early morning ride that gets me back before mm-hmm. those kinds of things. And that can mean leaving at, you know, 5 a.m. to catch the sunrise. And then the freelance schedule has afforded me some free days that I'll get out and ride for 8-10 hours and, you know, spend the entire day on the bike. So
love that. Yeah. And so, you know, and I would never have known that when you moved to San Francisco that your world would revolve around riding the mountains surrounding San Francisco, because I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah, nor did I.
Yeah, exactly, which is awesome. And now you're in this elite San Francisco Cycling Club, which has some of the best riders ever, which is, you know, very impressive. So congratulations on that. And I'm happy that you get to be here and experience what we have to offer here, because it's a good spot as well.
It really is. Yeah, I'm still finding new mountain bike trails and new stuff to do out here. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and you keep getting all those King of the Hills and get the local guys all mad at you, which is okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, Brian, I so appreciate you being here. And I, you know, it's always my hope to speak to somebody that's sitting at a desk right now and admiring what you're doing and looking for some inspiration. So if you had some words of advice, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I would say explore the things that you enjoy and, you know, whatever that might be. It doesn't always, it's not always obvious that there is a career path there, but I think that there is something to be said for exploring what you enjoy doing or finding new things that you enjoy doing and to, you know, to just see what is possible.
Yeah. And I always say, like, talk to people, let them know that, you're interested too.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's been good for you, but thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned next month. And in the meantime, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.